The opinions expressed in this program reflect only those of the participants and are not necessarily those of the sponsors, management, or staff of WTBQ Radio or FST Broadcasting Corporation. WTBQ.
Good morning and welcome to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fella. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning, as she does every morning, is my wife, Ann Fella, who is the Regional Director of Patient Services, as well as the Director of Quality Assurance at A&T Healthcare. Ann, can you give our listening audience of WTBQ a good morning greeting?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. And joining us this morning, I'm very honored. We have a very distinguished guest. Her name is Dr. Lydia Cavola. And she is a medical oncologist, and she will be discussing cancer diagnosis and treatments, and we're all very excited about it. But, Doctor, thank you so much for joining us this morning on WTBQ.
It's a pleasure and big honor for me to join now and touch the audience, I believe, now of thousands of people hoping to be listening right now.
And that is like so perfect. Just to let you know, A&T Healthcare, we're a home healthcare agency, and we have offices in Newburgh, Kingston, Mount Kisco, New Jersey, New York City, and our corporate office is in New City, New York. We at A&T Healthcare, we're very honored to be broadcasting every Thursday morning on health-related topics and subjects. As I always say, Doctor, we're not controversial, contentious, or confrontational. However, we are engaging, informative, and I want to say we're going to be entertaining, and we do accept questions. Dr. Cavola will be accepting questions, and the phone number is 845-651-1110. That's 845, area code 651-1110, and as I say, thank you for being a part of your Thursday morning. Real quickly, and we just had a couple of little things. We're always talking about Facebook. I mean, this is it. This is the social media. You got to be in it to enjoy it. But if you want to follow A&T, join us on become friends on Facebook. And as I said, we do archive our different radio shows that are available that you can listen at any time, particularly if it's a specific subject. I just have another thing for our class. We did have a class that graduated from Kingston. And I'm very proud of them. It was a smaller class because there was a couple of conflicts that happened with the original students that had attended. But it is an important aspect of what A&T does is that we are licensed by the state of New York to train individuals to become home health care aides as well as personal care aides. And I always stress this is important because they're going to be wearing the A&T Healthcare logo. And in order to do that, we want to make sure that they maintain that standard. And we're very pleased with the class that we have graduating.
That's right. Okay. And we have a class coming up
in Newburgh.
April in our Newburgh branch. And you can give them a call at 561-7900 if you are interested in the healthcare field.
Okay. Let's just start. I really have to say this, Dr. Liddy. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. One of the things, I'm acutely aware that Ann and I are not Dr. Oz or Dr. Phil, okay?
Yes.
I always say, Dan agrees with me, I hope, Dan, that we're budding radio personalities, and this is stuff that we do. And we really put 100% in that we do have a lot of the drive and determination to make Health Matters a very informative show. And I think a testament to that is the fact that we're able to get you as a guest so you can inform our listening audience. But thank you so much for being here on Health Matters on WTBQ.
Thank you for inviting me. Okay. Thank you very much.
Today's topic, we'll be discussing, you know, cancer and the different forms as well as the treatments that are available. As I said, we're so fortunate to have you as a guest today. And our goal in Health Matters is that we want to inform and educate our listening audience of WTBQ. And this is certainly a topic where there's a lot of information that's available as well as the many new inroads that have taken place. As I always say this, if one person is afflicted with cancer and one person, it really is a cascade effect and it affects the entire family unit. So I'm sure many of our listening ones have known someone very close to them that might have been touched by having cancer and the impact that it had on the family. But it is important, as I said, we will be accepting any questions, for doctor. But before we get started, could you please tell us something about yourself? What inspired you to become a doctor?
Yes. So it is a long story, but the major motive that I had was my interest in science and my interest in really conquering and treating the most difficult diseases. And indeed, cancer integrates, the treatment for cancer integrates almost everything what we know about patients' diseases, because it takes into account not only the cancer as a particular separate process, but also how it affects the whole body. So when I started graduating from medicine, I had an interest in immunology, and I did a PhD in immunology, which led me then to do basic research in Sloan Kettering, and especially on topics on how immunological processes work in the body. And it turns now that it provided a major basis, like, let's say, 10, 15 years later, for how we should approach the treatment of cancer in immunologic way. So I feel fortunate in this regard that we were one of the pioneers of studying these processes and trying to apply this into managing and conquering the disease pathology process in tumors. In addition, I mean, the field of oncology is very broad. I mean, it's definitely, in order to treat a patient, you need to have a very rigorous diagnostic workup, which is done in combination with surgeons, also with interventional radiologists, and of course with pathologists, which definitely the final diagnosis in pathology, which brings us to molecular level of understanding the disease, is very, very important. So in some cases, people feel that it's a very long and tedious process to do a diagnostic workup, but in fact, it is the most important one.
Wow.
And especially nowadays that in order to treat the disease, we need to go as deep as molecular level of understanding the disease evolution and presentation. So it takes us to the concept of personalized medicine. And in this regard, what it means is that if we manage to understand the immediate disease, the change in the molecular basis of a disease, then we can approach with particular medication that can eventually stop this process or turn it around to a normal pathway. And as I say, I have been very fortunate to work with great specialists in the field, both in Sloan Kettering and later on in the Weizmann Institute of Science in Israel, where we did experimental bone marrow transplants.
Wow.
And studying again the process of how you can manipulate the immune system, how you can manipulate the regrowth of the normal blood cells that we would help, you know, at the final stage of treatment of some diseases. And then regarding, nevertheless, my basic research studies did lead me again back to the patient. So
right.
I understood that I could not really do without rigorous clinical background and rigorous clinical approach. So my interest in the real patient and the real disease remains. But I'm happy to be able to integrate both the science and the clinical approach, which is a very important thing in our field.
I always know, like, even with Sloan Kettering, I always consider that to be the epicenter of, you know, cancer research, and many people try to emulate Sloan Kettering, and that's great that you had your training at that particular facility.
It's one of the centers, though. I mean, definitely there are several centers in our country which do very, very important research in different aspects. And also to underline that indeed there is a major interest in cancer as a whole. Although these are separate diseases, we should not really unify everything under one name, one understanding. But this is the only disease process that has been on which a biography has been written. And I make reference for the very interesting book that came out 4 years ago that was titled Emperor of All Maladies.
Okay.
And this was a biography of cancer written by the oncologist scientist in Columbia University, Dr. Siddhartha Mukherjee. So this has been a book that, you know, a lot of people read and, some feared to read
all
this.
That's always important, yes.
It is. But again, to say this is the biography of cancer. It has been acknowledged at least 5,000 years ago, and we still fight it.
Right. We're still fighting it.
And
learning.
And learning all the way through.
Right, and it changed.
Now, this is a subject that Ann and I talk many times. I'd like to hear your explanation, but a lot of times what our people, when I'm teaching, is distinguish between what is the diagnosis and what is the prognosis, okay? As simple as possible, because this is all, a lot of times, the concepts when someone says, oh, gee, they have a diagnosis of such and such. What does it mean, the difference between diagnosis and prognosis?
So the diagnosis is when you first encounter the disease, and you need to understand it on different levels. First of all, where it originates from, the organ of origin, and then to go down to the subtype of the tumor that may originate for a particular place. And the third level that we now integrate in most of the studies is the molecular level of understanding the disease process. This is one aspect. The second aspect through the diagnostic workup is the staging. So staging means what volume of disease people have at particular time, and especially at diagnosis. And we typically put numerical correlate to this, like from stage 1 to 4.
Okay, one, so stage 1 is the earliest stage, correct?
Yes, stage 1 is the earliest. Stage 4 is the most advanced and final stage.
Yes.
Of course, due to this, prognosis may vary. But prognosis is also based on the type of the tumor. Because nowadays, some types of tumors, especially also in leukemias, we can definitely manage either to complete treatment or to really to manage as a chronic disease, which is a big advance now in science, in medicine. So prognostication, again, includes not only staging, but what medications you have in the armamentarium and how much the patient can tolerate the treatment. So the patient comes to us with their background of other medications, other diseases. So we need really to make this final decision, what is the best to be, how to treat the patient.
Okay.
So it is a complex process.
It is. It's very complex. You're listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we have Dr. Lydia Kalovo, and she will talk more on what exactly is cancer specifically. You're listening to Health Matters.
Are you an RN or an LPN, caregiver or aide, and want to be part of a first-class, full-service home healthcare agency? Then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342. High standards of care from pediatric to adult patients need your TLC. You are dependable, compassionate, honest, and sensitive to the needs of others. Whether you are highly skilled or wanting to learn, A&T has the finest training program in the tri-state area. And if you'd like to be part of the number one home health care agency that makes a difference every day in so many lives, then call A&T Healthcare at 845-638-4342 today or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Alan Fernandez. Join me at the Jazz Getaway with Miles Davis, John Coltrane, and Duke Ellington and more every Sunday at 7 p.m. on WTBQ.
Hey, everybody, this is Rachel Ray. Join me today and every weekday with Rach on the Radio. I'll have tips to save you money, celebrity chit-chat, and, of course, food. All from the kitchen table of our Emmy Award-winning show, Rachel Ray.
Weekdays at 12:30.
WTBQ, feeling all right. Feeling all right, and welcome back to Health Matters. My name is Peter Fell. I'm the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fell, the Regional Director of Patient Services, also at A&T Healthcare. And this morning, we have the most wonderful guest. I'm so excited about it. Ann and I were just talking during the break with Dr. Lydia Kalovo. And she is a medical oncologist. I know that Ann and I say this all the time, doctor, but so often when I have guests on the show, I learn so much. And Ann said, I'm taking all these notes. I said, okay, Ann, but pay attention and all that. Yes. Ann's going on. But really, we're so happy that you're here. And where could you be reached? You work for the the Goshen Associates?
Yes. Our office is located in Goshen, Hatfield Lane, and the name of our practice is Goshen Medical, and actually we are part of the Bon Secours.
Oh, you're part of the Bon Secours?
Yes, okay. Yes, which integrates all these services, and we'll come, of course, to this point that treatment of cancer really takes a village.
Right.
Because it needs a combination, coordination of not only different specialty doctors, but also after treatment of the patient, they need rehabilitation. They need a lot of psychological support physical support. So that is why we are trying to build, you know, what we call cancer centers with different services. And this should be made aware to the patients because, exactly, the patients are not alone. Mm-hmm. It takes the family. It takes also the cooperation through the cancer services,
the healthcare
what we
team.
Have. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And ANT is involved as far as like caring for patients who are afflicted with cancer?
Absolutely. We provide home health aid services, nursing visits, skilled nursing.
Yes.
And we also contract with hospice and palliative care services.
Yes. And this is enormously important. Also for the patients and for the families.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. You know, one of the things that, you know, as the director of education, I always learned this from my days at nursing. As you know, Ann and I are both nurses. Okay, we're not Dr. Oz or anything.
We are nurses.
Yes. We're very proud of it. And it's always important that when you're caring for someone that you look, that don't forget it is a person. You don't get caught up in, oh, they have this reagent or you know, the blood pressure's here, the oxygen saturation is there. Always remember that it's a person that's there, and that's what always comes first. Don't ever lose sight of that.
You're exactly right, and especially patients are very sensitive, especially in disease, which is sometimes grave. So early in my career as a physician, I had a lesson. One of my patients told me, you know, doctor, I went to a very distinguished doctor in the city, and but I decided still to come back to you because he looked at me as a disease. He didn't look at me as a person.
Okay.
So I was, first of all, I was stunned by this very simple characterization of how actually the physician should approach the patient and what the patient needs in their encounter with the physician. So it's not only the expertise, which of course we always study, we learn to acquire bigger expertise, but it's also the human approach, how you understand the personality, their struggle with the disease, mm-hmm. and accordingly to give them support in this. So early in my profession, I pledged that I will look at the patient as an individual.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Those are called bedside manners. They always say that in medical schools, that should be a I forget that movie. What was that movie that
the
they
doctor.
Had? With John, what's that?
The doctor.
With William Hurt was in that one? Yes, I remember. And then they had to put on the hospital gown so you know exactly
pretend
what...
Pretend that you're the patient.
Pretend that you were a patient and all that stuff. I always remember that. That was a great...
When you change the roles, you understand too much. But even without this, I think if you listen to the patients, you really will understand a lot.
Right.
But still, the question is, what is exactly cancer?
Yes.
And why it distinguishes it from other diseases? So cancer is, you know, very big and broad understanding of multiplicity of diseases. But there are certain hallmarks of the disease process that distinguish it from something else. So the tumor cells are such that all of a sudden emerge and they have the tendency to be immortal. So this is a very interesting concept in biology. Typically, every normal cell has its particular lifespan. It is born, it differentiates, it has to have some special services, some special function, and then it dies. But these tumor cells, they switch their genetic mechanism in a way that actually they don't die. Mm-hmm. Or they can reproduce themselves in bigger numbers, which is not needed for the body. So in this respect, they actually overpopulate the organ, the tissue. They go through the blood to other, they spread to other organs. And this makes them dangerous because they cannot fulfill normal purposes, normal function. On the other hand, they take territory and they can cause people to have different complications, such as infection, bleeding complications, anemia, and so on. So in this regard, you know, cancer is unique disease. Mm-hmm. And we need to work against this expansion of the tumor cells. Mm-hmm. And interesting enough, you know, this fight against cancer went through many stages. Of course, it started, I would say, it's a new specialty. It started about, in the early 50s, and then it more expanded in the 60s and 70s with very simple and what I would say rudimentary treatment of chemotherapy they were just throwing some few of the medications that were present at that time and seeing that it works indeed in some diseases and it wouldn't work in some others.
Right.
So it was a little bit more on empiric level. Mm-hmm. Also, it was understood around this time that radiotherapy, radiation, also kills cells.
Right, we knew that.
But especially vulnerable were the quickly reproducing cells like tumor cells. So irradiation was also put into place initially.
And that's why we were talking about, like, the stage one is that the early you get – now, empiric stage, that's like where it's just starting, that you're doing an educated guess. Is that right?
Well, no, it's not a guess. It should not be a guess.
Oh, okay,
Is predetermination when you approach diagnosis is dangerous.
Okay.
We really need to make a diagnosis on solid facts. And how it's done? Well, sometimes by chance, but now more and more we find early disease through surveillance. And this is a very important part of oncology because we want to prevent or treat early stage of cancer where we're the most successful.
Preventive medicine, we always say that in screening. Go ahead.
Yes. So how it's done? Well, we have several good examples along the way. First of all, with the breast cancer. I will set apart the big debate when mammography should be started, but in general, I know, it's a matter of
politicians. There's a lot out there right
now. Yes, and we fight for the best of the patients, of course. But the point is that this surveillance does save lives, and I see over and over this again, especially for patients who have family history of disease, and then we would suggest that surveillance starts early. So mammography nowadays went also through different stages of precision of the diagnostic process. And now we're speaking of tomosynthesis, which is the three-dimensional mammography.
Right.
And it's available.
Oh.
And it's available also in our area. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to say this, that we have such service in Orange Regional Medical Center. In addition, also Bon Secours is planning to adopt such technology as well.
Wow.
And this is the most sensitive mammography right now.
Right. Okay, but with the mammography, wasn't it always the thing where it was you get false positives or something like that?
Well, this is the problem. I mean, the more sensitive the diagnostic test goes, the more biopsies because of some are true malignancies, some will be false positive. But this is always so.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, well, I would say that many patients would say, I would rather have a biopsy, which is false, than just something to be missed. On the other hand, the psychological factor, of course, is important. The person's anxiety and, you know, all the negative feelings regarding all the also the biopsy itself causes pain. But more or less, I mean, this is what we are working upon. There are also other tests like magnetic resonance imaging of the breast, which we also reside, especially presurgically, to assess the final situation in the tissue. But so this is one aspect. I mean, how precision, how precise is the test that we use for surveillance? Another test, a little bit more controversial, is the PSA, the prostatic specific antigen, which again causes a lot of controversy just because it's not the ideal test. But what I will suggest in general, the importance is how dynamically you trace the changes in the PSA.
Okay, that's for the men. Now. That's for the prostate screening and all that. Yes, that's always it's always important when we're getting it. And I remember one time, like they always have like threshold. And I went to the doctor and I had it done a walk. And he said, you know, you're not at the elevated level, but you're very high up there. And I just thought you're very young. So he just was monitoring more. And it's funny because my father did have prostate cancer.
Yes.
And I know that's always very important when we talk about screening, about what the family history is.
Family history is very important to at least to delineate people that may be at risk more than others. So, again, I mean, a lot of the tests are not perfect. Also, we have colonoscopy for, you know, surveillance for colon cancer. Of course, the enteroscopy, I mean, the small bowel is still not very well
not
precisely endoscoped. But at least, you know, we made some major advances in this regard. Well, we're working on others. So the new generation of diagnostic surveillance tests will be in the field of the so-called proteomics. So what is proteomics? It is, I mean, every tumor or tumor cells, I mean, give rise to some particular metabolic processes that can create particular molecules, proteins. Right. Mm-hmm. So if we are able early on to capture these proteins in the blood, we'll be able to decide, well, there is something building up, some mm-hmm. tumor growing, even before the radiology or other modalities are able to capture this. Mm-hmm. So this is also a big field that goes on, and we still are not at the prime time to use it for official surveillance and diagnostics, but right. I hope soon we'll be able to for some of the diseases.
Right. I know it's, we always like talking about that with the screening and things like that. Are there any like specific, I think that's one of the things we always were talking about, is they start changing when you should be screened, like let's say mammographies, what is it?
It's
is
a little
it 40? When do they keep changing it, or they say, oh, you can get it at 40, if not now they raise it up to 45? Is that something that keeps changing? I know it drives people crazy a lot of times.
Because unfortunately, for decision making, it's not only the physicians who have the word.
Right.
I know what you're going to say.
But also it's the insurance companies.
That's
it's
it.
Even the
money. It all comes back to the money. Yes, yes, yes. That's right.
Which is a very long story. Yeah. But
well, it's not funny. Yeah. I know that's exactly what it is that they're saying, that the statistics when
yes.
you find.
Yes. Well, you do have to look at the statistics.
That statistics and everything, but definitely for people without some particular family history, I mean, starting at after menopause, it's one possibility. For others right. who have early on family history, especially for family members who had cancer before the age of 50 or mm-hmm. 40, it is a must to start, you know, before that, even at the age of 35.
Right. Okay. And we're listening, you are all listening to Health Matters. And when we come back, we're going to continue Dr. Lydia Cavall talking about screening process. You're listening to Health Matters.
A&T Healthcare hires the most qualified pediatric high-tech RNs and LPNs. They provide care with the utmost compassion and sensitivity. A&T Healthcare are committed to providing their pediatric and adult patients with the highest standards of nursing care. By providing high-caliber, reliable nurses and high-quality service, A&T Healthcare consistently delivers more value for each dollar spent. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Vic Murata. Tune in every Thursday at 11 a.m. to hear from knowledgeable people about current topics that affect your lives every day. Ask questions, get answers on The Vic Murata Show, Thursdays at 11 a.m. right here on WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
Hi, this is Taylor. Have your second cup of coffee with me every Friday morning at 10:30 a.m. Learn the latest in news, gossip, health, entertainment, and of course, all about animals. WTBQ, radio worth listening to.
WTBQ,
look for mostly sunny skies today with our highs in the mid-50s. Cloudy tonight, we'll see some showers as we get down around 45. Tomorrow, showers likely in the morning. There could be a thunderstorm, too, and then another thunderstorm possible in the afternoon. It'll be breezy with our highs mainly in the mid-60s. Showers taper off at night. There could be another early thunderstorm, though, then partly cloudy. Colder in the low to mid-30s and sunny on Saturday with a high 50 to 55. From the WTBQ Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Tony Salimo.
WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Fellin, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Fellin, the Regional Director of Patient Services at A&T Healthcare. And we have a very distinguished guest, Dr. Lydia Cavall. She's a medical oncologist, and we've been talking about cancer. I know this isn't like a happy subject and things like that, but it is something that can afflict many people, okay, that you probably have touched someone's lives at one point or another where you know someone that has gone through that. And right now we're going over all the different ways of screening, the treatment, and things like that. This is a part of medicine that really has made tremendous inroads, but there's still a ways to go. The Dr. Lydia has said that she will accept any questions that you may have for her. The phone number is 845 area code 651 1110. That's 845 area code 651 1110. Please give us a call if you had any questions. Go ahead, and I think you had a question you wanted to
say. Oh, I just was wondering, in discussing the protein, also what the PET scan is. People usually go for a PET scan as yes. part of the diagnosis.
Yes, exactly. Well, PET scans are contributory in the diagnostic process and also on the follow-up surveillance process after the patient is diagnosed and treated. So what's the meaning of the PET scan? It's actually a scan that shows function, metabolic function. It's positive in areas which have increased metabolic activity. And such areas may be, of course, involved with tumor or with infection. So that is why the PET scans are not very specific, because they can also be positive, as I said, in infection.
Or something else.
So that's why we try to utilize those really with caution, because, I mean, just some positivity is not meaningful unless it matches also another area seen that is abnormal seen on the CT scan. So that's why we have this simultaneous reading of a CT scan, which gives the anatomy, the size, the position of particular mass, for example, and whether it's really positive on a PET scan. So that's why it is. It's very useful in some types of lymphomas, also in some types of cancers that we would like, let's say the lung cancer, that we would like also to follow up the results of treatment. But also it may light up after irradiation treatment. So, again, it is up to the expertise of the doctor who orders this. And I would say PET scans should not be ordered indiscriminately, because they also give quite high level of irradiation to the person who receives those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we should be very mindful. The same, by the way, with a mammogram. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, with each mammogram, people receive like 400 to 500 reds. This is red is a measure of how much irradiation a tissue receives. And, of course, this is, it's not considered to be harmful, but if we speak about accumulation of this through the years, of course, it may become a very substantial dose, cumulative dose.
Right, right. I know even with just on a simple level, even like with x-rays, they always talk about that. You can't always be taking like all the x-rays. It really has to be somewhat of an indication on it.
Yes.
Could you just tell us more about the different types of treatments? I know you covered several of them, but I always know, and this is what my understanding of it is. I know even with chemotherapy is that one of the things is that it's like this incredible delicate balance, in the sense that you want to eradicate the cancerous cells, but unfortunately when you do it, you're going to be eradicating some of the good cells, for layman's terms. And there's that delicate balance. Could you tell us how that is weighed, or how they're able to monitor the right concentration, so to say?
Yes. Peter, you're just touching upon a very important topic, because nowadays, actually, we're speaking and thinking about moving the treatment further to the point of what we call precision or targeted medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So what it means is, for example, cancers are not all the same. The intricate molecular process that leads to cancer may be at different for example, for cancers of the lung or cancer of prostate. So even in one type of cancer, let's say the lung has a big big pool of diseases, there are at least several subtypes where the process of disease goes through different pathways. So on molecular level, when we understand which are the so-called checkpoints which are important, crucial for the tumor development, and the idea is to develop medications that will particularly, specifically block these checkpoints and will not and will stop the further progression of the disease. This is actually the most important thing. And we do have already achieved such successes. For example, in some types of lung cancer, we have the so-called growth factors, epidermal growth factor receptors molecules or inhibitors of these molecules that are actually, when are used, that can do, patients can miraculously actually get rid of disease, at least for a few years, because unfortunately it's still not curative approach, but it can do a lot of saving patients, first of all, to have unnecessary chemotherapy, and really treating the disease straight on the point where such pathologic process has developed and is the leading cause in the disease. Also, there are big successes in this regard also with leukemias.
Mm-hmm.
I will give an example with chronic myelogenous leukemia, where it was found 15 years ago. It was found that particular particular blocking of one enzyme can turn the disease process back and allow the tumor blood cells to mature. And since then, actually, this started in the advent of this century, that we're giving a medication called Gleevec. It's an oral medication. Mm-hmm. It's a biological treatment. And we maintain patients for years mm-hmm. without recurrences, and practically they are free of diseases.
Wow.
So this is one of the big success stories in medicine, and we're trying to apply this concept, proof of principle, to other diseases as well.
Right.
But it's not easy because, unfortunately, there is another biological phenomenon which is called mutability. I mean, the tumor cells try to resist this. So they will find alternative pathways how to escape this pressure that is, you know, this blockage on the way of their progression of their development. They will try to avoid this and bypass it.
Wow.
So it's more for
more
the
challenges.
Yeah, bigger challenges ahead.
You know, I had a question. I see these commercials on TV, and they're talking about with smoking. I mean, one of the things that we always stress on Health Matters is preventive medicine. About, we've had several shows incorrect on smoking. We had the Great American Smokeout. And, you know, just like the importance of even just like cutting back. But there's a commercial that the New York State Department of Health is showing where they show everyone sitting around the dinner table and the woman's pouring some Ensure, some kind of liquid formula, into her stomach with a GT tube. And at the end of it, it says that smoking can cause 15 different kinds of cancers. You always associate smoking with lung cancer. Do you have any comment on that, about the 15 different – it's that bad, like not just for your lungs, but all the other organ parts of your body?
Yes. Smoking in general, first of all, provides a lot of chemicals, toxic chemicals to the body. Of course, the lungs are the first line that receive all this. But also smoking was found to also be implicated in cancers like cancer of pancreas, cancer of cervix in the females. In general, it also weakens the immune system. It weakens the immune defenses, natural immune defenses.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So that is why, I mean, through all these mechanisms, smoking can also be implicated in cancer of the bladder. So it is not...
Yeah, I guess that's what...
Exactly. It's a lot of ramifications. But interestingly enough, we find that in a lot of these cases, I mean... It produces also it produces a whole genetic change in the tissue that comes in contact with these chemicals, and this is called mutagenesis, which means the normal genetic compound, the material, is being changed because of the presence of chemicals that either alter, I mean, can alter this in different ways. I'm not going to discuss this. But this is the major way that nicotine and all these other chemicals like tar, for example, there are myriads of this in the compound can work on. And that is why, you know, smoking is really dangerous. And it's not only cigarettes, it's also for cigars. They can irritate initially the oral cavity, mucosa, causing chronic inflammation. And through inflammation, people may develop cancer, squamous type of cancer.
No, I mean, that's one of the ones that I know we always talk about, you know, preventive medicine, about there are many ways to quit smoking, you know, with the patch, I think that. There are several ways. Hypnosis, I think there's certain things. We had the doctor...
Acupuncture,
right. Even that, there are different ways.
Though there's recent study that the best way to stop is to just quit.
Some patients it works,
cold turkey.
For others not. And we really think that it also depends on the... it's not only psychological, but also on the neurological, system of the person. Some people are addicted easier than others.
Right. Well, you know, there's some, I don't want to embarrass her or mention her name, but she works in the Kingston office, but she stopped smoking and it's going on 6 months now. And I'm dying to get her on the radio show, but she's very shy. And I said, no, really, just to tell you a story. And, you know, she says she has had different changes that she can feel and positive, and then there's some other things that go on. But it's been 6 months and I'd love her to share the story, and maybe you could ask her.
Maybe we could get her to call in because
it's so real. It's one of those things that are so real. Like you think, oh, I can't do that, but then you have.
That's a great accomplishment for someone though who's probably been smoking for quite a long time in their life.
But also, let me tell you, it's a new aspect, a new decision of our Oncologic Society for screening for lung cancer, which is really new. Mm-hmm. It was adopted as strategy last year. So there is the so-called low-dose CT scan and for the lungs. And it can be used for patients who really have been long-term smokers, more than 30 years of smoking. And these people can be actually checked every year with such CT scan of lungs because it was found the X-rays are not really helpful. They're very global. They're not detailed enough to show changes in the lung tissue. So mm-hmm. this is also a new thing, and I think our listeners should know about this. It's an option. It's approved by Medicare.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So it is an important step forward.
So they see it as important.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. As a very important preventative test.
Mm-hmm.
And early treatment then.
No, early diagnosis, right. Especially for people who we think are at risk with more
right.
than 30
right.
years of smoking history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, right.
This
and
is an important test to do.
You know, this is the other thing, Doctor, if you could answer this. A lot of times people don't want to go to the doctor because they don't want to hear the bad news, okay? And, like, you know, I know something. I have something, I feel this lump in my breast or, you know, I have this soreness, and I don't want to find out what it is. Could you please educate them to know that is the exact opposite thing that you shouldn't do?
Well, actually, I think that, initiative like yours, what you have here on the air, also in the general publications, it is very important to educate patients to face what is going on. First of all, we learn this all our life. Face the problem. Otherwise, how can you resolve it? Unfortunately, I still have patients, and sometimes even younger ones, that would come with very advanced disease that they have been just denying the presence mm-hmm.
yep.
of
yep.
for the last months, and they were just, you know, watching it growing. This, you know, in our society, educated and modern one, this should not happen.
Okay.
But there's still patients out there this.
You're listening to Health Matters, and when we come back, we will continue to talk about preventive medicine as it relates to cancer. You're listening to Health Matters.
ANC Healthcare is a full-service home healthcare agency that works closely with your hospital discharge planner and other referral sources to ensure that all of you or your loved one's home healthcare needs are met. They provide short or long-term hourly or live-in home health aides, LPNs, and highly trained and qualified nurses and therapists as needed. ANC Healthcare has earned a reputation for dependability, responsiveness, and personalized attention. By working in conjunction with nursing departments, HMOs, managed care insurance companies, and other referral sources, they act as facilitators in planning and anticipating patients' needs at home. Call 845-638-4342 or visit at-healthcare.com.
Hi, this is Rob Loferese. Tune into my show Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and ask Rob for the right advice on how to buy or sell your car or home and keep more money in your pocket right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
Hi, this is Sarah O'Connell.
And this is Jonah Treboiser.
And we're the hosts of Radio Rotary, heard every Saturday morning at 11:30.
Each week we chat with your neighbors about great things happening in your community and around the world.
Radio Rotary.
Right here on WTBQ Radio, worth listening to.
WTBQ.
And welcome back to Health Matters. Why? Because your health does matter. My name is Peter Feller, the Director of Education at A&T Healthcare. And joining me this morning is my wife, Ann Feller, the Regional Director of A&T Healthcare. We have a very special guest, a medical oncologist, Dr. Lydia Covolo. And we've been talking about cancer. Let me ask a real quick question unrelated to the show. Do you like that song, Feeling All Right, by Joe Cocker? Do you like it? All my guests, I think it's a keeper. Every guest I've had, they've all said,
well, you like
and
it,
I think
Peter.
That exemplifies I love that song.
Right.
When I hear it on the radio, I think of WTVQ. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. WTVQ. Dancing with
really?
The Stars also.
I think of Dancing with the Stars.
I put the two of them together.
That was your dance song.
But we're talking on the different times on cancer. Can we talk about a little bit more on the different treatments? Doctor, where can you be reached, by the way? You're with the Goshen Associates. Give it your contact information.
Oh, yes. So I'm, as Peter said, I'm a medical oncologist. who treats a lot of diseases, actually, like solid tumors, breast, colon, prostate, but also I have expertise in lymphomas. Definitely, I mean, whoever will be interested, we accept patients. We try to see patients immediately because we understand that this is important to start right away with the process of diagnosis and decision-making. So our phone number for the office is 845-649. I'm sorry, I'm giving a wrong number. 845-294-8888. And again, my name is Dr. Lydia Kulova.
Okay, yeah. That's great.
Yeah, and if you can always call the station if you have a question, or you can go, you know, on A&T Healthcare.
Yes.
And we would be happy to direct them to you as well.
And I know we do have that, as I said, A&T Healthcare is home care agent. We do have, like, many patients that are afflicted with this, and, you know, even with the hospice and even as far as the care, but there's a special way of doing it. And that's one of the things that's so important. I mean, if someone has, you know, particularly the hospice, if it's at the terminal stage, you know, the quality of life is a very important
and
factor.
And not only, you know, at the end of life, but also during treatment, because treatment is draining and, you know, all your systems are usually affected. And if you do need help at home during that time, we would be able to provide.
I want also to touch upon new trends in treatment. Again, chemotherapy is one thing. It still works very well for particular types of cancers. And we become more and more precise how to use some medications and how to manage the toxicities. But now a new trend in oncology is the so-called immunotherapy. Because it was found that for some diseases like malignant melanoma, for example, or kidney cancer, the conventional chemotherapies do not work. So it was found that these diseases actually are more part of a whole immune failure of the immune system of the host, of the patient, to recognize the tumor cells. So a new trend was started, and these medications actually came. It is almost a year since the first medication was approved by FDA. And we immediately applied for treatment of people with squamous cell cancer. Then we also broadened the use for adenocarcinoma of lung. So the meaning of all this is that we need to activate the immune system in order to first to recognize the tumor cells and then to destroy them. And this is a very elegant concept because it doesn't really, it actually activates the patient's own potential to fight cancer. And this is a long-term effect. It doesn't happen only when the medication is given, but it can project its effect over, you know, a lot of months later on. So the first actual immunotherapy was done in prostate cancer, but it was with modest effects. And then everything was made more specific and more tumor-oriented. So it turned out that the tumors actually repressed the immune system. They downplay the immune response of the host. And they do it through particular ways. First of all, they make the cells of the immune system being inactive, because when they come in contact with the tumor cells. So this, the immunotherapies are about to change this, to de-repress the immune response by blocking these special mechanisms with which the tumor cells try to suppress the normal, you know, activation of the tumor cells. And when I mentioned at the beginning of the talk that how we came to this point, because we came to know the process in the immune system, the activation, the normal activation pathways of the immune cells. And this was actually my research somewhat 20 years ago.
Wow.
So I am glad that this actually made one of the foundations to find new molecules that should be manipulated in the to augment the immune response. So new medications and great results, because when people are already tired and cannot get more of the chemotherapy, we then go as a second or third line on immunotherapies. Mm-hmm. It's still not, these therapies are still not used for the first encounter of cancer, except for malignant melanoma, when we first treat upfront metastatic disease. So this, as I said, is still to be perfected. because alongside these good immune responses, we also have what we call autoimmune responses, meaning that the immune system becomes so overactive that it can attack its own systems.
Good system.
So this is the downside of such therapies. But again, we learn now more, and we can manage all these side effects.
And you're really part of the process. You're part. You're right in the forefront of these amazing technology and how the diagnosis is and things. That's absolutely fabulous. I'm so awestruck by the kind of work that you're doing and how it's going to be impacting the quality of lives of people or diagnosing it sooner and things like that. It's just absolutely amazing. And so you had another question?
No, I just was thinking about what you said right at the beginning of the show, that it takes a village.
Yes.
Oh, I like that.
You know, it's your oncologist and all the people around that are going to be involved in taking care of you, nutritionists, psychologists.
Yes.
Possibly a psychiatrist if you need some medication to help deal with some of the emotional effects of this life-changing disease, nurses, your primary care physician.
Yes.
If you have other problems, you might have a cardiologist involved, your gastroenterologist, your nephrologist,
your
gynecologist.
And also to add here to this group, of specialists, genetic counseling. It is very important nowadays because we try to predict possibility for cancer development early on based on family history even now genetic findings.
One of the first questions that you're asked.
Yes.
What is your family history?
And actually we do this. There are special genetic tests that we do for patients which we find really to be at high risk. So we can perfect the surveillance, the prevention process, and early diagnosis of disease.
And they treat it much sooner or detect it much sooner.
And that's what we were saying at the very beginning, as far as the screening goes, is that the diagnosis is what you're diagnosed with, be it lung cancer, bladder cancer, skin cancer, but then based on what the stage is, which would be the product, that really tells you how well you're going to fare from it. So if you have something at stage one, your prognosis is much better than if it is at stage four, and that's why screening is always so important.
Yes.
Doctor, would you be able to just summarize? We have about like a minute left. I told you the time was going to go very quickly. Anything you want to talk about the preventive? I know we already said about no smoking, but are there certain things that is diet an impact on cancer? Well, what were
I would like to give a more general message.
Okay.
Because I think still it's important people really to follow with their primary care doctors, to have a good assessment every year. And if something is really found not quite or due to symptoms already, symptoms appearance, to be channeled quickly to medical oncologist or hematologist. And as I said, in our practice, we always accept new patients almost immediately because we understand the importance of this. And what I want to say, denial is a bad thing in many ways, in all life. And let me quote again for our purposes, what you need to fear is fear itself. Otherwise, you need to face this and see the appropriate specialist. And, just get help in all this process.
And that's how. Don't be afraid to ask the question.
And you're not alone.
Yes.
There's people out there, your family to help you, or professionals to help you deal with whatever the end result is.
We're there for you. But, again, don't be afraid to turn to the appropriate physician. And also know that in our area, actually, there are doctors, there are specialized units that can help. It's not only, people should not just immediately go to the city where, longer wait.
And, you have it right here. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. So it's really next door and availability is great. And also, again, we try to be absolutely up to date. And this is what we do every day.
Absolutely.
Doctor, thank you so much for being a guest on Health Matters. What a wealth of information we have. I tell you, it's just been fantastic. Please, I hope maybe we have you on the show again because I think we're just scraping the surface, but maybe sometime in the near future.
Or maybe someone else from your practice.
That'd be good. Yeah. Okay, as I always say, stay healthy. Why? Because your health matters, okay? To you, your family, and friends, I wish you all the best. And see you next week on Health Matters. Thank you.
Thank you.